Isaiah 55, verse 3. Let's just look at 3b. That is the second part of the text. And I will make an everlasting covenant. I'll make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. Now, my friends, you listen carefully to what I'm about to say. The word covenant appears in the Bible. You want to make a guess how many times? Over 250 times. Covenant, 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 covenant. And the average person doesn't have the slightest conception what it's talking about. And it's fatal. Our God is a covenant God. We better learn this. He talks about his covenant with Noah. He made a covenant with Noah. He would not deviate one way or the other, Tom, from that covenant. He said to Noah, there will be 8 souls saved so as by water. I'm telling you, 120 years all man has. My spirit will not always strike. Got 120 years. Made a covenant with Noah. When Noah stepped out of that ark, God put a rainbow in the sky, didn't he? And he said, here's another stipulation of that covenant. Another part of it. I will not destroy the world again by water. Don't worry about it. You can forget it. We might have a little flood down here on Greenup Avenue, but it ain't going to destroy the world. But God said, I'm going to burn it up. He made a covenant. He made a covenant with Abraham. Talks about the covenant God made with Abraham and to his seed. Now you can rest assured. I don't like the word contract. I don't like the word contract any more than the other folks like. But it's a covenant, and the Scripture says covenant, agreement, if you will, promise by an oath. He said Abraham to your seed. He said took Abraham out one day and said count the stars. It's an impossibility. He says, so shall your seed be. That's my covenant. And that seed, listen to me, that seed, don't get wrapped up in your premillennialism to the point you think that that seed is the Jewish nation. It's not. That seed is Christ and everybody in Christ. He's not a Jew which is one outwardly. He's a Jew which is one inwardly. Circumcision is not of the flesh, it's of the heart. We are true Israel who worship God in the Spirit, who rejoice in Christ, have no confidence in the flesh. And don't you look for our Lord Jesus Christ to allow Israel to put that temple up and start those sacrifices again. It'd be the greatest blasphemy against his name that's ever been occurred. And don't you look for our Lord to sit on a throne over there in that little village surrounded by a wall and rule the world. Forget it. He has a people out of every tribe, kindred, nation, and tongue under heaven. That's the Jew. And that's Israel. And God made a covenant with Abraham, and that's Abraham's seed. It's Christ and everybody in Christ. I'm telling you the truth. That's what the Word said. And God made a covenant with David. With David. Just as sure as you're a foot and a half high, God's covenant with David's going to be fulfilled. Every jot and tittle of it. The son of David is going to sit on the throne forever. And there are other covenants, but there are two main covenants. Will you listen? There are two main covenants with which you and I have to do. I know that I am vitally involved and affected by the first one. And everybody here is. Everybody from this pulpit to the back of the wall, from this wall to this wall, every son of Adam is involved in this first covenant. Now, there are two covenants. I'm not greatly taken up with the covenant with Noah or with Abraham or David or these others or Daniel, but I am concerned with two covenants. And if you will, you'd be wise to be concerned about them also because they vitally concern you. The first one, I have a vital part in, and I hope by God's grace I have a part in that second one. I'm sure of the first one. That first covenant's called the Old Covenant. It's called the First Covenant. It's called the Covenant of Works. It was a covenant made with Adam. Now you put that down. It was a covenant made with Adam and with his sons. And it's summed up in four words. The covenant of works, the covenant God made with Adam, the covenant God made with the human race in Adam. He made it with Adam, not with Christ, with Adam, the first Adam. He made that covenant with Adam, and it's summed up in four words. This, do, and live. That's the summary of it. That's the whole heart of it. That's the foundation of it. This, do, and live. There it is. That's the covenant of works. That's the covenant God made with Adam. It was doomed to failure. It couldn't succeed. It was doomed to failure. It failed because it was made with the creature. Made with the creature, a finite creature. It was doomed to failure. We did not keep God's commandments. It was doomed to failure from the start because it was made with a creature. And the covenant of works is broken. It's broken. It's smashed. It no longer has anything for us but condemnation and wrath. That's all it has for you. That's all in the world it has for you. This covenant of works has nothing for you or me. This do and live has nothing for me but wrath and condemnation. The soul that sinneth shall surely die. Be sure your sins will find you out. The wages of sin is death. Now that's the first covenant. It was made with Adam. It was made in the garden. It was based on four words, this do and live. Adam broke it, and when he broke it, you and I broke it, and the consequences of that covenant fell upon us, and that's death. God says, when you eat, you die. Now, wait a minute. Listen to me. You can roll that covenant up, and you can cast it aside because it can do you no good. It has nothing for you. Now, watch this. Whether it's in one word to Adam, tree, it'll do you no good. Whether it's in 10 words to Moses from Sinai's mountain, it'll do you no good. Or whether it's in a hundreds of rules and regulations given to Israel in Deuteronomy and Leviticus. All these different things about the fields and about people and about marriage and about families and about workmen, about laborers, about... This covenant, whether it's summed up to Adam in one word, tree, don't eat of the tree, eat of it and die, or whether it's summed up in 10 words to Moses from Mount Sinai, or whether it's summed up in all the way through the books of Genesis through Leviticus, all these rules and regulations by the deeds of the law, either in Eden, Sinai, or the plains, by the deeds of the law shall no flesh be justified. Forget it. Turn to Romans chapter 3. Now that's so. Forget it. What the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh. It can't save. It can't justify. It can't sanctify. It can't cleanse. It can't present us to God. No way. That covenant is rolled up. It's cast aside. It's broken. It's smashed. It's forgotten. It's powerless except to damn. And it can't do that. God does that as a result of the broken covenant. Look here at Romans chapter 3. Now, verse 19. We know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law that every mouth, the mouth of the babe or the mouth of the elder, that every mouth, the mouth of the pauper or the mouth of the prince, every mouth may be stopped. What do you mean stop? No alibi, no excuse, no self-justification. Just shut your mouth. Let's just shut your mouth. In the presence of God, just shut your mouth. Before God's holiness, just shut your mouth. Before God's law, just shut your mouth. And all the world may become guilty, guilty,
guilty
before God. No trial. There's no use having a trial. We're guilty. But thank God. Look at this back here again. Now, that's that first covenant. I don't have time to spend the time I ought to spend on it because I want to get into the new covenant. But that's that covenant. It's made with Adam. You say, how could I be involved in a covenant made with a fellow 6,000 years before I was ever born? Well, you've got one problem with that. If you persist in opposing that identification, then I in turn will ask you, how could you be involved with this new covenant made with Christ before the world was born? You see, if you don't have imputed guilt, you can't have imputed righteousness. If you don't have imputed sin, you can't have imputed salvation. God deals with two men. I'm telling you this, it's just so, it's scriptural. In Adam we die, in Christ we're made alive. As we're born in the image of the first Adam, we'll bear the image of the second Adam. By man came death, by man came resurrection. And he's not talking about you, he's talking about those two Adams. As by one man sin entered the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men. When God made the first covenant with Adam, agreement, contract, whatever you will. But God spoke to Adam, and when he said, this do and live, he was speaking to the whole human race right then. Every son of Adam that's ever been born or will be born. God said, eat it and die. We ate it, we all died. And then over there in the book of Romans chapter 5, somebody objected. What about infants? Well, Paul said this. Somebody said, where there's no law, there's no sin. In other words, an infant doesn't have these rules and regulations. How can he keep them or break them? Paul said this. He said, if that infant wasn't a sinner, he wouldn't die. That's exactly what he said. The very fact that that baby gets sick and dies is proof that that child is under the condemnation of the broken law. Sin causes death. If there were no sin, there'd be no death. If there were no sin, there'd be no sickness. So death passed upon all men. Don't go out and tell people I'm saying infants are lost. I'm not saying they're going to hell. I'm not saying that. I'm simply saying that they are sinners. They are sinners. Now here's Isaiah 55. Look at it again. God said, I will make a new covenant. I'm going to make a new covenant with you. Now watch this. Let me give you four or five points here. This covenant, first of all, is a covenant of grace and not of works. It's an agreement, it's a covenant, it's a contract of grace alone. It's not based on this do and live. It's a covenant of pure, free grace. It's going to be the gift. Everything God has in this covenant will be a gift. Free grace, covenant of grace. Secondly, it's a covenant made, it's a covenant for the unworthy and not the worthy. So thirdly, it's an unconditional covenant as far as I'm concerned, the creature's concerned. All the conditions are going to be met by God himself. Fourthly, it's an everlasting covenant. It'll never be revoked. It'll never be replaced by another covenant. Now that covenant God made with Adam was replaced by another covenant. It was replaced by a covenant that was older than that covenant. The reason the everlasting covenant is called a new covenant is because it's newly revealed. It wasn't newly made. It's the covenant with Christ before the world began. This covenant of grace, this contract, this agreement of grace was made before the world was made. It was made before the covenant of works was made, but it wasn't revealed. It was hidden in the secret counsels of God. And then in the fifth place, this covenant is ordered in all things and sure. There's no ifs, ands, or buts, or maybes about it. It's sure. It's definite. David said, the last words David spoke before he died. He said, although my house be not so with God, God hath made with me an everlasting covenant ordered in all things, in every jot and tittle, ordered in all things, not some thing, big thing, great thing, all things, ordered in all things and certain and sure, this is my salvation. This is my hope. This is my desire. And then this covenant is filled with the sure mercies of David. It's flowing, it's outflowing with goodness, sure mercies. Not perhaps, not probable mercies, but it's absolutely abundantly outflowing forth sure mercies. You see that? Now let me come over that just, I'm not going to try to be repetitious and all, but I'm going to come over this one more time. You see, God in His infinite wisdom, in His infinite purpose, and in His infinite knowledge, before the world began, made an everlasting covenant. It's everlasting both ways. Covenant, agreement, before the world was ever made, before God said, let there be light, before God laid the foundations of the earth, God made an everlasting covenant. When there were no men and there were no angels, the covenant was made with His Son, Christ. Christ was the surety of that everlasting covenant. His blood was the blood of that everlasting covenant. He was the lamb slain before the foundation of the world. God chose His people, gave them to Him from the beginning, chosen in Christ before the world began. That covenant, that agreement, that contract, call it what you will, but it was hidden in the secret heart and counsel of God, unrevealed, unmanifested, untold. All right, there it is. God then made the world. God made the world, made man. And He made a covenant of works with that man and with his whole race, with every human being in Adam. And He said, Adam, to Adam, this do and live. I'll make a covenant with you. You're a prince, you're a king, you have dominion over the fowls of the air, the fish of the sea, the beast of the field. Walk before me. But don't eat the forbidden fruit. You are a God, but I am the living God. You are a king, but I'm the King of Kings. You are a creature with power, but you're still in submission to me. Forget that and be damned. That was the covenant. Adam broke it. I could just read you so many scriptures on this. Turn first of all to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. Now watch this. Romans the 5th chapter. Representation. Representation. Romans chapter 5, verse 12. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, came through that one man, and death by sin, and so death through imputation, impartation, identification, that death, spiritual death, passed upon all men. That's where we got it. Turn to Romans chapter 5, verse 17. Just the first part. As by one man's offense, death reigned. Verse 18. Therefore, by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation. Verse 19. For as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners. All right, just hold that right there a minute. You say you didn't read the rest of it. I'm dealing with the covenant of works. Now, God says, I'll make with you a new covenant. It's already made. And why did God call it new? Newly revealed. See that, Jim? It's newly revealed. The new covenant would mean nothing till the other's broken. There's no need revealing a remedy till somebody see. There's no need revealing a cure until you got a disease. And so God then revealed the new covenant in Christ. And let me tell you this. And you just hold your seat there, and I know 90% of the preachers in the United States will fight this till their dying day. But it's so. Almighty God, that covenant of grace and mercy and salvation, pre-justification, pre-sanctification, pre-redemption, was not made with you. It was made with Christ on your behalf. And that's so. Almighty God didn't come to you the second time. He came to man the first time, and He said, do this and live. Man said, I won't have this God reign over me. Don't eat of the fruit. I'll eat of the fruit and be like God. Well, the Lord has no more proposals to man. No more. Do no good. He said, what good would it do? You'd only revolt more and more. You're sick from the sole of your feet to the top of your head. There's nothing in you for God to appeal to. There's nothing in you to respond to God. You will not come to me that you might have life. The Ethiopian can't change his skin, the leopard can't change his spots, and you can't do good that love evil. He said, I come in my Father's name and you won't have me. Let another come in his own name and him you will have. The natural mind is enmity against God. The natural mind hates God and loves sin, loves self. No use God appealing to men. So God made a covenant, an agreement. I'm going to save a people. They're going to have a perfect righteousness. And he made it with us, or on our behalf, with his Son. And he said, my Son, I give to you a people. Out of all of Adam's race, I give to you a people. You take not on yourself the nature of angels, but the seed of Abraham. I give you a people. They'll be as the stars of the sky and the sands of the seashore, and you'll be their surety. You'll be their representative. You'll be their righteousness. You'll be their justification. I'm going to put them in your hands, and you're going to the earth as a man. You're going to be born of woman just like they were. You're going to nurse at a breast just like they did. You're going to grow up in a home just like they did. You're going to be under the law of the home, the law of the land, the law of the church, and the law of God just like they were. And you're going to fulfill it as the God-man perfectly. And then I'm going to lay on you their sins, and you're going to pay their debt. You're going to be buried and rise again and come back up here and sit down, and my Spirit will call them out one at a time. And thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power. Now, the religious world hates that like worse than they hate the devil. But, my friend, that's so. I'm telling you the truth. I'm not telling you because it's popular. I'm telling you because it's so. It won't make you popular, will it? But it's so. God didn't make an agreement with you. He didn't say, now, if you do this, I'll do that. If you'll take the first step, I'll take the next one. If you come so far, I'll meet you halfway. God's done with you. God's done with dealing with men. As far as covenants are concerned, God made a covenant with Christ. There's just one covenant, and that's the everlasting covenant. And he made that covenant with Christ. Now look back at Romans 5. Let me show you that. Romans 5, verse 17, verse 18. Therefore, by the offense of one, judgment, wrath, condemnation, death came upon all men to condemnation. Even so, by the righteousness of one. Not many men, not your righteousness, yours. Righteousness of one, the obedience of one, the holiness of one. One man. The free gift came upon all men under justification. You hear what I'm saying? That's saying one man sinned and everybody died. That were identified with him, that were in him, that were in his loins. This is what this verse is saying. When one man sinned, death and judgment and condemnation came upon all men. One man, that's Adam. When one man obeyed God's law, when one man obeyed God's law perfectly, loved God with all his heart, mind, soul, and strength, his neighbor more than himself, for he gave his life, kept the law in every jot and tittle, when that one man fully obeyed, justification passed upon everybody identified with him. That's what that's saying. That's representation. That's federal headship. That's what the Scripture teaches. Look at the next verse. For by one man's disobedience, one man, Adam. Many is the correct translation there, were made sinners. When did I become a sinner? When one man died, that's when I became a sinner. That's when you became a sinner. You can't get clean water out of a rotten fountain. You can't get a clean son out of a rotten daddy. That's the reason Christ was not the seed of man. He was the seed of woman, that he might not partake of the Adamic sin. He was born without sin because he was born without the aid of a father, human father, born of the heavenly father. If he had been born of a human father, he'd be the same shape you and I are in. He'd be in hell right now. But he is born of the seed of woman. And by one man, we were made sinners. Look at the next line. So, in the same way, by representation, by the obedience of one, shall many be made righteous. Now, brother, sisters, I don't know how to make that any plainer. Let's try again. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 15. This is the covenant. There's a covenant. Covenant. God said, I'll make a covenant, an everlasting covenant. What part could you have in an everlasting covenant? You weren't even around. That everlasting covenant was made with Christ on your behalf. 1 Corinthians 15:21. Look at it. For since by man came death. That doesn't say by men, it says by man. Let me give you a clue. The scripture says there's one God and one mediator between God and, how do you read that? Man? That says men. Christ is a mediator between God and not mankind, but men. It reads like that. All right, when he says this, and he says in verse 21, since by, he didn't say by men came death. He says by man. That's one man, the whole race in one man. By man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam we die, even so in Christ we're made alive. Try 1 Corinthians 15:45. Look at this. 1 Corinthians 15:45. It says, so is written, the first Adam. The word Adam is red. It comes from red earth. It comes from man. God made man out of the red earth. So it's written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam, a quickening spirit. Only two Adams. Howbeit, that was not first, which is spiritual. Well, it was first. Christ was before Adam. Firstly revealed. You see that? Firstly revealed. That was not firstly revealed, which is spiritual. But that was firstly revealed, which is physical or natural, and afterward that which is spiritual. Now, the first man is of the earth, earthy. The second man, just two men, is the Lord from heaven. And as is the earthy, so are they also that are earthy. Every one of us are in Adam. We're all flesh and blood and bones. And as is the heavenly, such are they that are heavenly, spiritual. And as we have borne the image of the earthy, thank God, by His grace, we'll bear the image of the heavenly. Now, brethren, let me tell you this, in summing that up. I'm aware that we're living, accountable, morally responsible men and women. I know that. I told my Sunday school class that this morning. I'm aware that rebellion is punished and faith is rewarded. Great is thy faith. I've not found faith like this in all of Israel. So Christ will bless faith. He'll deal with sin. I'm aware that God has commanded all men everywhere to repent and believe the gospel. He that believeth shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. But I boldly declare, standing on the certain foundation of God's word, that our justification before God is not by our obedience in any shape, form, or fashion, it's by the obedience and righteousness and death of Jesus Christ. That God Almighty dealt with Christ, and because Christ paid my debt, it's paid. Because Christ Jesus bore my sins and put them away, they're put away. I didn't do anything about it. I was absolutely passive in the matter. I received it as a free gift of God, performed and worked out by the obedience of His dear Son. And the same thing is true of my perfection and sanctification. It was worked out, perfected, performed by the obedience of Jesus Christ. My Lord came into this world as a man and walked this earth in absolute perfect obedience, in perfect love, perfect faith, and perfect righteousness. And it was imputed to every believer. It is charged to our account. It is reckoned to our account as if we did it ourselves. And in Christ we did it because we're one with Him. And before God, I'm as perfect as Christ. In His sight, I have no sin. My sanctification in Christ is perfect. In me, it's not yet perfected by any means. It will be, but not yet. But before God, I have a perfect sanctification. My redemption. My redemption. In His sight, is in Christ. It has nothing to do with my works. It's His work. Now, this is so. And I know a lot of people say, well, if that be so, let's just live like we please. That's exactly what I want you to do. Live like you please. How do you please to live? Paul said he wanted to be like Christ. He wanted to be like Christ. I'm going to show you something now. Turn to 1 Corinthians 1:30. 1 Corinthians 1:30. It says here, but of Him are you in Christ Jesus. Of God are you in Christ, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Jesus Christ is made to me all I need. Of God and before God, all I need. That according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. Now turn to 2 Corinthians 5. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 21. Now listen to this. For he, God, hath made Christ to be sin for us in our stead, in our place. He knew no sin. Christ had no sin. That we might be made in him the righteousness of God. What is the righteousness of God? That's the perfection and holiness of God Himself. With His spotless garments on, I'm as holy as His Son. That's so. You've got to be perfectly holy or God can't have anything to do with you. He can't receive you. He can't fellowship with you. He can't call you His Son. You've got to have the nature of God to be the Son of God. Wish I could make this clear. Turn to Colossians 2. I'm going to continue this message tonight. I'll get straightened out on my sermons one of these days. I just got too much material. We pray for, you know, we get our material, we pray for liberty, and God gives us, and we try to cram all our material into God's liberty, and it won't fit, so I'm going to just quit. Colossians 2, verse 9, listen, for in Christ dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, in a person, Jesus Christ. And you are complete in Him. That's what I'm trying to say. And do with it what you want to. We'll come back tonight and do a little more with it and make it a little clearer. What I'm going to show you tonight is this. As a result of that covenant, they're not only redemptive blessings and blessings of justification and blessings in regard to God's dealing with us, but they're blessings that flow to the believer, these sure mercies of David, that enable us to love God, to know God, to walk before God in holiness and righteousness. I'm going to show you tonight how that the man who is in Christ is not only a son of God, but he is actually, by the power of God, a new creature right now in Christ Jesus. He walks before God and before others as a new person. The Pharisee does what he does out of a sense of duty. The redeemed person does it because of the indwelling person and the love and relationship he has with that person. Those are the sheer mercies. But I do want you to see this with all my heart. God is a covenant God. And if I were you, I recommend you do this. I don't recommend anybody believe anything because I say so. Buy your concordance. One of those Strong's analytical concordance is complete. And look up the word covenant. Covenants and covenanted. Almost 300 times, Richard. 300 times. God talks about a covenant. Covenant. And a covenant is like Paul Edward and I established a covenant. He said, now, son, I'm going to do this. This is my oath and my word. That's my agreement. Just shake hands on it. He expects me to do it. And Almighty God made some covenants. He made one with Adam. He said, do this and live. And he meant it just like that. See, so he meant it. It's so now. It's never changed. Do it and live. You who would be under the law, do you hear it? Do it and live. It's all right. You want to stand before God on the basis of your holiness? Do it and die. Because you can't do it. But God made a covenant with Christ. Gave him a people. He assumed full, absolute, unchangeable responsibility for those people. I'll bring them home. And I'll work out everything that needs to be worked out and fulfilled on their behalf, and I'll bring them home, pure and holy, just like myself. I'll raise them from the dead and bring them home. And he said, all that the Father giveth me, I'll lose nothing. That's so. And you better study it. You say, I don't believe that. I'd study it before I said I didn't believe it. It's all right to say you don't believe it, but I sure would give it more than 15 minutes thought, because it took God longer than that to do it. I'd give more than 15 minutes thought. I tell you, what they're preaching today is not working. It's not giving anybody any hope or peace. I've made my peace with God. I did, and Christ made my peace with God. Our Father, this is so great and magnificent and wonderful and beyond human comprehension. It's a mystery, the mystery of godliness. And yet it's all revealed in Christ. It's all right there. If we just see Christ, if we can just be brought to have eyes to see and ears to hear and hearts to understand your magnificent glory and holiness and majesty and power and our own inability and our lost condition, our sinfulness, and see Christ as our surety and our representative, our federal head. Everything's in Him. And Father, help me to point out tonight, this doesn't lead to lasciviousness. This doesn't lead to carelessness. This doesn't lead to indifference. It leads to godliness. It leads to a greater love and a greater appreciation and a greater thanksgiving and a greater dedication to Your glory when we see the magnificence of Your glory in Christ Jesus. What He's done for us. What He is to us. What we shall be by His grace. Give us understanding. Deliver us from this perverse generation of human wisdom. This perverse generation of people who look to their own thoughts and their own ways and their own understanding and walking in the darkness of their foolishness with all their cliches and religion and what if, all these things they don't understand. Stumbling over strong delusions, wresting the Scriptures, twisting them to their own destruction. Lord, enable us to lay hold on the Word like it is. Offer no apologies for the Word. Deliver us from custom and tradition and heritage and denominationalism and all these pitfalls that have damned men so long. And give us an open heart and an open hand, an open ear to hear from God. An open eye to see Your glory. Our identification with Christ. Don't let us miss Him. Satan is so deceptive. Leads us from the oneness of Christ, the simplicity of Christ, to complications of our own wisdom. Lord, help us to save ourselves from this perverse generation of religious unbelievers. Speak to this congregation by Your power and by Your Spirit. For Christ's sake we pray. Amen.